Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. During her nearly 35 years as a kitchen designer, she's worked on a multitude of projects in locations as varied as Connecticut, New York, Palm Beach, Houston, and Los Angeles. Having earned a BA in interior design from the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York, she's embraced classicism since Richard Samens of Fairfax and Samens Architects introduced her to its language in 1994. Her constant analysis of his work and time spent studying at the Institute of Classical Architecture and Art helped her to develop an understanding that a beautiful and functional kitchen is not only an integral part of the architecture of the house, but a very, very central heart of the home. A proud member of the Decorators Club of New York, which for over 100 years has continued to evoke a spirit of excellence that symbolizes the best in the industry. She also is involved with the Institute of Classical Architecture New York chapter. A lover of education and the arts, she's the co-chair for the Decorators Club Scholarship Awards. She's taught at the Institute of Classical Architecture and Art and has lectured for the Traditional Home Building Show. She is very busy making the world more beautiful. Sarah Blank, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. It's really great to be here.
It's a joy to have you with us today, Sarah. I can't wait to hear all about you, but we always like to start at the beginning. So take us back and talk to us about how you first fell in love with the worlds of design and then very specifically the world of kitchen design.
Well, it really, as with many people, I would think it really starts when we're all quite young. My parents had done their kitchen when I was 12, and I remember it till this day. And I remember the architect, and I just remember everything about it. And when I was in high school, my senior year of high school, my history teacher's cousin at the time was the head of the interior design department at Bloomingdale's in New York City. And he was the one that really headed all of the windows and, you know, did all the trips. And, you know, the theme of this year is, you know, safari. And Richard Knappel really was quite a person back then. And I worked for him for a summer. And that really began my career. And he said to me, you need to go to FIT. And I immediately applied and got in. And that was the beginning.
Wow. What an auspicious beginning.
Yeah, it's really amazing how your high school history teacher can kind of put you on the road.
They really can. I mean, they play such a vital part in our lives.
They really do. It's in looking back and you ask people how many professors, you know, really had an impact on them. And that's kind of where it starts.
Indeed. But it hasn't stopped there. No. So you made your way through college. What happened after college?
I did. And I really, like many interior design students, needed a job by the time I had finished. And I, at the time, lived on 22nd Street in the city. And we used to sit on the front stoop. And there was a neighbor that knew somebody. And again, it's weird how things happen as connections. This person that I used to sit on the stoop with and, you know, watch everybody walk by knew somebody that had a kitchen showroom up in the A&D building. And at the time, it was the El Milmo, which is actually a very nice German product. And they needed somebody. And so I went on the interview and got the job. And that started me in the kitchen business and the kitchen design industry, and I never left it.
Wow.
So that's also from high school to the front stoop. You get.
What a journey you have been on.
What a journey. So it's been a great journey.
It seems like it, and it continues to be.
Yeah, and then meeting Richard on a job in Bedford, Richard Sammons, and actually an interior designer, Sam Blount, who I've known now since then, goes back to 1994 when I met the two of them, and they are both good friends of mine today. So it really is all about connections in many ways.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. So meeting him and becoming exposed to classical architecture seemed to add another layer or another dimension.
Yeah. Being in kitchens, I enjoyed what I did, but maybe it wasn't, how do I say this? It wasn't enriching. And somehow when I met Richard and he brought me into, I think at the time it was Classical America. And I was just enamored. I was enamored with his work. I loved everything about the Institute. I loved what it stood for. I love architecture. And I clung on to him and his concepts like glue. I couldn't learn enough fast enough. And I would go on trips, and I would go, to Europe, to Italy. I'd go to the Institute for classes. I took the winter intensive program. I studied the orders. And then I loved it. I loved it. I went on every tour that you can possibly imagine. I studied architects of the past. I went to Vicenza and went to many of the Palladian villas. I just really embraced it and found that classicism, as I say, is not a style, it's a language. It's really a set of rules and principles that you apply to any style. It could be modern, it could be contemporary, it could be Georgian, it could be Victorian. Whatever it is, it's a set of rules. And one of the most important rules that one should abide by is that when you begin a design in a certain proportion, you have to maintain that all the way through. Because if you don't, you're going to begin to see some differences that are not going to be harmonious to the eye. So the classical language really is a discipline. And studying classical architects' work helped me to understand the integration of a kitchen into a space and how it's proportioned into its home. And its home is the house that it is in. So it has really been a lifelong study to my work in really making a kitchen flow and be timeless. When someone says to me, what is the trend today? I don't go by trends. I want that kitchen to have its presence and its statement and serve its purpose for many, many, many years. So that's kind of my goal and my passion. And how I get up every day and what I work by.
Well, it seems to be working, so please don't change.
Thank you.
Keep
thank
it
you.
Up.
Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes it's not easy, but thank you.
Well, they say nothing worthwhile ever is easy.
Right, right. So it's really true.
So do you find that your clients are surprised? I mean, you made a statement a moment ago that it doesn't matter the style you're working in, modern or otherwise, that the principles of classical architecture apply. Is that a surprise to clients that you begin to work with?
I somehow think they don't understand it sometimes because the word classicism is so kind of compartmentalized, and it's people have looked at it as a style for so many years. And I think once they see my work and see the diversity, then they get it. Then they get it. And as modern is really strong today, I'm working on a project right now in Palm Beach. And she, once she saw the design that I did, she really understood that I understood what I was doing. And ultimately, I was hired for it. So I think that people begin to see it, and they see it in my website, and they see it in my work, that I really do understand a language and can apply it to their needs. And I also have an incredible knowledge of what is needed for a kitchen. You know, it needs to be beautiful, but it really needs to be functional. So I can make it really beautiful, but I also make it really functional. And that's also a juggle. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot, but you really have to listen to the client and listen to what they need and how they function. And then you take all of that and you incorporate it into that whole home and that room. So I think they see it once they see my work.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. You touched on the idea of function a moment ago. I would imagine that we are seeing an ongoing evolution of the needs of the function of our kitchens in our homes today. Would that be accurate?
Very much so. And there's different functions, James. There's functions for the family kitchen. There's certain functions for a chef kitchen. There's certain functions for a outdoor kitchen. There are certain functions. You know, every kitchen has functions. And what also really makes the difference are the appliances that you put into each of these and how they are going to meet the demands of that particular room. So again, you really have to know your client. You really have to know the needs. And then you can integrate what they need into a beautiful space. The you and I have talked once before about the commercial industry and what all these, I think all these shows, these cooking shows, have really helped kitchens. Yes, kitchens are the heart of the home. They're where people spend all the, like, majority of their time in the day. I mean, they're there a lot. But now people are really cooking. And you've got a series of appliances that are incredible. And what I mean by that is the commercial market is now being developed for residential. You're getting sous vide, which is a type of cooking. You're getting, chill blasters that just you can just quickly parch some vegetables. You seal them, you vacuum seal them, and you quickly parch your vegetables, and then you chill blast them so that they maintain their nutrients, they maintain everything, and then you seal them and you freeze them. And that is really, if somebody has a garden, and with everything organic today, and people having organic gardens and going to the farmer's market, they take all these fresh vegetables and they just parch them and they freeze them and in their chill blaster, they put them in the freezer and they have fresh vegetables for many months ahead. So it's really, this is really going into all of the kitchens, not all of them. I mean, I have to prove this is expensive equipment. Right. So there's certain kitchens, but people are really loving it. There's also steam cooking, where you're using steam to bake. You're using steam to even reheat. You know, what do you need a microwave for when you can reheat steam? It's so moist, it's fresher, it tastes better. So having a real understanding of what is out there has put me in a real strong position in helping people develop just a really great kitchen. Yeah, I'm really always staying on top of it, is what I'm.
I was just going to comment that this has to be literally a full-time job for you, just staying on top of the latest developments in technology, because technology changes so quickly.
Well, technology, it's interesting you say technology, because if you ask me the question as to, you know, how quote-unquote modern technology like Apple computer or, you know, computers in a kitchen, I would like sit there and not know how to answer you. I don't know how that gets into the kitchen and what it's going to do for us, but I do know high technology in cooking. Mm. You know, there's a, yes, that technology in appliances and how they're used today.
Wow. Okay. Well, I know who to call when I have questions about what's coming down the pike in the kitchens.
There you go.
In addition to the appliances, which obviously are evolving and growing, what do you see have been the biggest changes in kitchens, let's say, in the past 20 years?
Well, that's a good question. You know, again, I design really timeless spaces. I'm not trying to put in a kitchen or install a kitchen that, oh, you know, that was in the 90s because it had ankle ball molding on it, or, you know, and I'm not downing those. They're beautiful, but I just want it to be timeless. I want it, you know, I have clients that I did, I have one particular client I did a kitchen for in 1987, and that kitchen today is still terrific. Wow. And all we've done is we had originally when we did it in 1987 is we had Formica countertops, you know, so we took those out and we put in, you know, stone countertops and we put in beautiful hardware and we did update the appliances. And so the fundamental space was designed for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. It wasn't designed that, oh my God, well, this really dates itself. Right. And till this day, I visit her and, you know, have lunch with her. I mean, we've done numerous projects together since, but that original kitchen is still there and still working beautifully.
Wow. A testament to good design, I would say, right?
Thank you. It really is. I think it really is. If I could pat myself on the back a little bit.
No, I think you're allowed. I'll help you out.
Thank you.
Well, now, I think I may know the answer to this question, but I don't want to assume. What's your favorite room in your own home?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. I actually have a wonderful den that I love to go to that I call my own when I really want to. You know, sometimes you can't get away all the time. Life is busy and you're going here and you're going there and you're working on this and you're working on that. And you find that you just go to sit down and design a kitchen. And do you ever find in your business that you're just like, can't get there. You can't, nothing creative is, you know, nothing is feeding your brain or, and I find that I go into this den that I've created with all, I love books. I love books. And I find that if I go in there and I just start pulling out all my wonderful books and reading through them, I just open up all the doors to create. So that to me, again, it's education, it's feeding my mind. And that to me is really special when I have the quiet time to do that. So yes, I love, I will love my kitchen. I'm in a very, we're just buying a house and we're going to be redoing it. Uh-huh. But I think that I love my den and I love the quiet time to be able to feed my brain.
That's such an important thing to incorporate into our lives today, because as you point out, everyone is busy. We all are going in so many directions all at once. To have that space that allows us to nurture ourselves, very important.
Right. It is important, and it only helps our clients.
Well, of course, they're the winners, as are we.
They're the winners, yeah.
What would our listeners be surprised to find in your home, Sarah?
Right now, a very old kitchen that needs to be done. my husband and I are just about to move into a home that was built in 1750. Oh, wow. Many people don't want old homes today. They want new, they want turnkey, and they want to go on with their lives. Mm. So we are passionate about I am passionate about history and I'm passionate about old. So we have found a very old home that needs to be, needs some TLC. So I've been given the task to bring it up to the 21st century. So it'll be exciting. It has an old barn attached to it. And now to be able to take this space and make it so that the millennial loves it. They love it. They want to move into it. That's my goal right now.
Well, I think the house is in good hands.
Thank you.
I hope you'll keep us posted on its progress.
We certainly will.
Good. I'm actually a little jealous. I love old homes too. So the idea of finding something in the rough and getting to work on it is a real blessing. So good for you.
Thanks. Good for you. Yeah. We still have to take care of the old, shall I say.
Yeah, we do. We have to nurture it and honor it also. But letting that be the springboard for all that's ahead is, I think, a pretty cool
exactly.
thing.
And to give it, I don't want, again, with modern and the simplicity and restraint of design today, I'm certainly going to take a bit of that approach when I look at this home and understand apply the language to sure. this home.
So that process for you hasn't started yet?
No. Mm. The brain has, but it hasn't gone to paper yet. So
all right.
it will be soon.
We'll get to check back with you on that. How about that?
That's great.
We'll be back on in 6 months or so, and we'll get to talk about the development of your kitchen.
That's perfect.
I'd love that. For the moment, though, let's think in terms of design or style heroes of yours, people whose work has greatly influenced you. You've mentioned a couple already, and maybe those are the answers. But if you had an opportunity to spend an hour or so with a style or design hero, who would you pick, Sarah, and tell us why?
Well, other than the ones that are alive and I love and adore and have really, they've taught me so much, I would say it would be Stanford White. I think the man was brilliant. And the detail to his architectural interiors is just so inspiring. I can't tell you, when you really take the time to study his work, what he's done for me in understanding, I study butler's pantries of the past because that's the kitchen of today. That's where they put all of the special details because it was right off of the dining room. The kitchens were in the basement, back then. So right. they didn't put it, it was basic. So Stanford White has built some incredible, incredible butler's pantries over time. And when you look at them, you're like, where do I begin? But when you begin, you realize how simple they really are. And how simple the lines are. And it's just, he's amazing. Mm. And the other one that has really been inspiring to me, and I've really had the good fortune to working on three of his homes, is an architect that goes back to the, three people, goes back to the late 20s to the maybe late 30s was his peak, is William Lawrence Bottomley. Oh my God. Beautiful, beautiful work. And he's the one, even though he's not alive, that taught me the word restraint and how important the word is. Because when you read what he has to say, it was a word that he really used quite a bit, is restraint. And I think, I don't care what era, what century, restraint is something that you always have to pay attention to.
Well... So and you said there was a third?
And the third, just wait, there was William, there was, there's a wonderful architect that, when I went to Bronxville, New York, I was looking at the architecture and I had just come from a trip on Sir Edwin Lutyens, and I love his work and I'm just running around Bronxville saying, oh my God, you would think Lutyens was here. You would think Lutyens was here. And it really is amazing because, oh my God, and his name just escaped me and I'm so embarrassed. Bowman is the architect.
Okay.
And I have been, his work is all through Bronxville, and he was inspired by Lutyens. And the homes, those Tudor homes that Bowman built, oh my God, they're just beautiful. So again, that's a third person that I've just, just looked at the details in all of these homes and been so inspired by.
Wow, three important and powerful names,
yep.
All worth studying. So thank you for the heads up on all of them.
You're welcome. And there's many books out there that are written about these people. So it's really wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, when you think about the overall world of design and decorating, give us the best decorating advice that you've ever come across, Sarah.
Well, I think the word restraint mm-hmm. is one of them. And really, I think we all know to keep it simple. It may not be simple, but it sure would look simple. So I think that's the best decorating advice I've ever gotten, was to keep it simple. And then, you know, then it goes into more complex and more deeper, is that, you know, when you design, you really have to design in the same proportion. You can't switch ratios in the middle, or else you're gonna look at it and say, what's wrong with this?
What was I thinking?
And there, unfortunately, there's houses and spaces out there that people look at and say, what is wrong with that? And it's the ratios just don't work.
Good advice. Very good advice. I know that you are transitioning to a new old home, but mm-hmm. let's do a hypothetical here for a moment. If the home that you're in were to catch fire tonight, mm-hmm. Loved ones, animals, they're all safe. But what is the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save?
Oh. That's a tough one. Well, you know, it's probably a more sentimental. I have a Paul Revere tea set that my parents, my father gave my mother, that it is a reproduction, but there was a limited edition of them that was done. And it was originally done by Paul Revere. And that tea set to me is just my parents. So if everybody's safe, that tea set is pretty darn special to me because it was my parents.
That would be a good one to try to save. Well, hopefully you never are faced with that decision.
I hope not.
Exactly.
I hope not.
You've already mentioned some amazing architects who have inspired you. I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you're also a book lover. Give us one book title that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Well, I think Great Houses, you know, and you and I talked about this before, and I was a little, because there's so many books. I mean, there's just so many books. I think the Great Houses of McKim, Mead, and White are, for me, is just magnificent. And I've been able to study, and I actually go to the homes too. So that to me is a book that really has inspired me. For the homeowner that is new at what they're doing, Richard Sammons put out a book that's called Get Your House Right. And I believe that every person, if they want to understand classical language in its basic form, it would be a great book. And, that's for my clients to read. You know, for me, I have William Lawrence Bottomley. I have, you know, all of the, I don't know, I just go back to all of the greats, Palladio. And I mean, that's where I go to really say wonderful. But if it was for my clients or for your listeners, that's a great book they need to get, because they begin to understand the importance of getting your house right.
Right. It is important. We'll post links to a couple of those books in the show notes section. Make
Great.
Sure that our listeners can have easy access to those. And something tells me they will be very, very grateful to you for those recommendations. Sarah, we've come down to the last question. You ready for this one?
Absolutely.
Great.
Shoot.
We finish every show with the same question. So
okay.
Let me paint a picture and then we'll get your thoughts. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Well, I got to tell you, it's really fun to have that, isn't it? Because for a designer, a decorator, we all want to do that. So it's really a great question. I think that in really thinking about this question, I would, first I have my computer, so I have the internet. So I would definitely want to know where every flea market, where every estate sale would be, and I would go to each and every one of them with that $1,000, because what you can find in these estate sales and tag sales and flea markets is wonderful. So I think I get a pretty good head start there, and I think I definitely go to the paint store. So I think that's where I'd begin with and hope I could get it all done in $1,000. You haven't given me the square footage of my house, so I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's a place to start.
It's a place to start,
yes.
You got it.
As with everything, it's an ongoing project.
Isn't it? Yeah. That's what's fun. I mean, sometimes when it's all done, you know, sometimes when they're done so quickly, you're like, oh my God, we just took the fun out of that.
Wow. Nothing more to do.
Yeah.
Time for the next project.
Exactly.
Sarah Blank, what a joy getting to speak with you today. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, James. What you're doing is so great. It really is. And
thank you.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Pleasure to have you with us. We want to say thank you to our subscribers who've tuned in to listen to the show today. None of this means anything without you, so thank you. Thank you for your dedication to the show, for listening in, sharing news about the show with your friends, and helping us to grow. Remember to go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post links to Sarah's website so you can follow the great things that she is doing. We will also post links to a couple of the books that she's recommended to us. All of them are interesting and unique in their own right, so click on those links, add a book or two to your library. It is time well spent getting to know these architects and these references for the classics of design. It's, as I say, it's time well spent. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.